The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott, this is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're starting off a new week, Monday, the 9th of May, 2022, 7:05 in the morning. News brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Caring, compassion, community courage. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Ashley is here. Good morning, Ashley.
Good morning. Happy National Homefront Heroes Day.
Homefront Heroes. Yes. That's cool. Like that.
It is also National Lost Sock Memorial Day.
Lost Sock Memorial
Well, we all know that that the washing machine eats our lost socks.
Well, you know
it's
what?
It's a fact.
I would like to know how I could buy six pairs of socks. And
you have one left.
And I've got one left of a different color. I'm not sure how that is.
Well, let's move on and talk about the weather. Hey, it's currently 40 degrees outside. It's chilly. It really is a layered day. We're going to have a chance of showers. Then showers today with a high of 58. Tonight lows will be over around 40. Looks like Tuesday, 30 to 70% chance of rain with a 63 and overnight lows of 42. Wednesday, looks like the forecast will be sunny with a high of 73. Wednesday night, partly cloudy with overnight lows of 45. Thursday, partly sunny with a high of 70, and Friday mostly sunny with a high of 77 as we progress through our weekend. The forecast calls for Saturday with, wait, do I need to look at this one? 90.
It's 37.
We're
right
talking
now.
About the
it's
big jump.
It's 37 right now.
And Sunday, okay, put on your big girl panties. 95. I know. I mean, look. I mean, our guest, I'm so excited about that. Let me just do quickly. The weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Locally owned and operated. Senior and veteran discounts. 265-3793.
A veteran-owned business.
Absolutely.
We're here with...
Let's get right down to the great business today.
We're here with Aaron Reznor, who is candidate for District 1 Supervisor. Good morning.
Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning.
You know, believe it or not, there may be people out there that have seen your name a lot, but they don't know who you are. Can you give us a auto bio right here for a couple minutes?
I'm Aaron Reznor. I'm a local business owner. My husband and I own Dutch Bros Coffee here in town. I'm a mother of four, a former mayor of Reading, current member of the Reading City Council, and I am currently a candidate for District 1 Supervisor.
Why?
Because I care about our community. And in the last couple of years, I think that there's been a lot of conflict, and it's just been a roller coaster, and we've had a difficult time getting a whole lot of work done, and we have some real problems that need addressed, like homelessness and honestly jail space and medical assistant treatment and rehabilitation programs and mental health, housing, all of those sort of things, and we haven't made a whole lot of work in the last couple of years in that, and I'd love to roll up my sleeves and help our community get the work done.
Well, everybody that runs for office that comes through here, and I ask them, what's the number one point that you want to accomplish? And every one of them who's come through here has said public safety and homelessness. Why? And the city of Reading has hired bunch of policemen.
Yeah, in the time that I've been on city council, we've hired 16 police officers.
Okay.
We are almost, we're like too shy of being back to what we were in 2008.
And they've got more in the pipeline.
We do have more in the pipeline.
Okay, let's talk public safety a little bit here.
Mm-hmm.
What programs have occurred while you were city council?
Crisis Intervention Response Team was rolled out while I was mayor, which has probably been one of the most impactful ones. We also recently, in the last couple of months, we voted to add that eighth beat back in, so we'll have park rangers. But I think that the Crisis Intervention Response Team is likely the most helpful one to tackle that public safety and merging of homelessness and mental health. So there, at the moment, there are two plainclothes officers who go out with a clinician from the county. So it's a partnership between the city and the county. And they attacked that list of people that have the highest volumes of calls. So there are a couple of folks on that list who maybe have received 200 calls for service or 300 calls for service within the last year. So we have roughly close to, you might have somebody who's either you've called as a business owner because maybe they were sleeping on your stoop, or maybe you saw them walking down the bridge, or maybe there was maybe it's a family member of theirs who needs help. And that team is going out and attempting to make contact and figuring out what's the issue with this specific person. Because honestly, 257 calls for service for one person, it really is that's a drain on resources. And so can we funnel, it's not fair to our public safety,
right.
It's not fair to the general public, and honestly, it's not fair to that human being who desperately, clearly needs some sort of help.
Right.
So they go and they get that, they attempt to make contact with that person, and often that takes a lot of contacts because those people often have some sort of trauma in their life. And so it might take 8 or 10 different times that they're contacting that person to get them into services. So whether that is some sort of rehab problem or whether that is getting them back home where it is that maybe they are here and they got stuck here, or whether that is into some sort of treatment or housing or on some sort of medication. It's been some of the stories that have come out of there have been really, really just heartwarming. You know, guys who have had multiple, maybe like 50 calls for service, and they're schizophrenic. And then we get them into, and they had, I saw a guy in one of our reports that had 25 warrants out. And they're all petty theft things because he was attempting to medicate his own sort of issues.
So you're stealing things.
Yeah, petty theft. He was stealing things to fix his drug habit. But then the CERT team and the clinician were able to get him actual medical treatment that he needs, and then get him into a facility so that he can have a normal, stable life, and then partner with the DA's office to see whether or not we can work out some of those arrest warrants and what it is that he can do, and now he's living a normal life and not harming anybody else's stuff. So it's a win-win sort of situation. Those sort of things are really impactful.
Okay, so we know that we have a limited time, and I know that our listeners and other people, it's just that we try to get to the meat of things, and it's very difficult when we have commercial breaks and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
So as we're here and we're talking about, you know, the fact that you, since you've been on city council, there's been 16 police officers that have been hired back to less than there were in 2008. That's the information we've gotten out so far. Where will you be in a public forum where those who want to get to know you could perhaps, besides calling in on the radio show, can see and meet and greet you?
Well, let's see. There is a private, I think our last forum is this week, and I believe that you had to buy tickets to get into it, so it's Republican Women's Forum. This will be our fourth forum. But there was a live stream that was done last week for the League of Women Voters, and there was also one that the chamber put out that we answer questions. I'm always available via direct message, and I talk to a lot of people over Facebook and Instagram and email. You can email me at erin@erinresner.com. Those are the main sort of things.
Okay, this is nice to hear. I mean, just to refresh people.
There has been a number of forums. It seems like there's been more forums this year.
It does feel like we've had more than usual.
The Chamber of Commerce, you know, kicked it off with a big one, and we've got those on our website, the first and fifth. And then there are others where
we did Republican Central Committee.
Yeah.
And League of Women Voters. And now Republican
League of Women Voters.
Yeah.
Consternation over the Pledge of Allegiance. I don't know. Did that fall into yours too?
There was honestly, there was something that was said during my opponent's speech about the pledge that was that was untrue. We were asked during something had happened earlier on in the week that was a little bit of a showboat thing, and then my opponent had asked whether or not we would feel comfortable doing the pledge. And the league had said, that's not something that we do, but we said if one of you wants to take time out of your opening speech to give the pledge, then you're more than welcome to do that sort of thing. And the other two of us said that we were fine with whatever that was, as long as the league didn't find any sort of disrespect by us, by an opponent maybe taking the reins of how it is. They don't, they're like information only, the League of Women Voters. They're information only. They come in, they take questions from. So they said they were fine with that if we were all fine with that. And then we all said that all we right. were fine with that.
So there's a lot of, we do have to take a break. And this is like that is just something that hit the headlines. And it's kind of a diversion. Let's get back into, like we said, the meat and potatoes of what your issues, why you're running, and we're going to be talking about more of Aaron Reznor after these messages. A shout out to somebody that we, or something that we use every day. You know, we just came back from Sacramento. We were visiting my mom and dad and family for my mother, for Mother's Day, like everybody's visiting their mom and trying to be, loving, show that your mother was respect by just being there. And so when we came home, it was so like, we're so happy to get back into our bed, because you know what it is to sleep on somebody else's mattress when you're used to your own. And we love our sleep number bed. Last night my sleep number setting was at 40. I like to move it around because I have my individual sleep number setting. And, so Carl, what was your sleep number setting last night?
My sleep number setting was 55. And that's the big thing. Sleep number gives you the ability, since life is a compromise, that you don't have to compromise on your bed. On the firmness of it. Plus, the fact is that Sleep Number has proven to give people more quality sleep. We like our Sleep Number. We've had it for, I say years. It could be longer than that. Trish has had hers for over 20 years. This is a great mattress, my friends. My family's gone out and bought it, friends, and they all are really happy they've done that. And you could, right now, you've got a mattress you can pick up for a very much reduced price. Why choose proven quality sleep from Sleep Number? Because every great day starts the night before. Don't miss Sleep Number's weekend special that ends today. Save $500 on the Sleep Number 360 C4 Smart Bed Queen. It's only $1,299, the lowest price ever, plus special financing. That ends today, only at our Sleep Number store in the Target Shopping Center. Go in and lay on every one of the beds. They don't mind. You will find one that's perfect for you or your children. Now, that's subject to credit approval, minimum monthly payments required if you want the special financing. See sleepnumber.com for details. We'll be right back.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
This is Varen Browning. I'm running for Shasta County Supervisor to make sure the worst wildfires we faced stay in the past. Like you, I've witnessed the aftermath of fires, millions of dollars in destruction of property, endless loss of natural beauty, and the needless lives of heroes taken. No one should have to live in fear their home will burn down. With your vote, we'll combat wildfire together.
Paid for by the committee to elect Varen Browning for Supervisor 2022.
Proven experience, fighting for you.
This is Stephanie Bridget, your Shasta County District Attorney. I've spent two decades fighting for your safety. I've personally prosecuted murderers, rapists, and child molesters, sending them to prison for life. I have met with and advocated for thousands of victims, giving them a voice against those that have harmed them. I am tough on crime and support a bigger jail. Vote for me, Stephanie Bridget, on June 7th.
Paid for by Stephanie Bridget for District Attorney 2022.
I'm Ed Rollman, a third-generation Shasta County native, business owner, and founder of the Merchants Crime Watch. District Attorney Stephanie Bridget has a 20-year proven record of fighting for the safety of Shasta County, including protecting local businesses from repeat offenders. That's why I support her re-election. We don't need someone like her opponent, a workers' comp lawyer with no experience who will need on-the-job training. Vote Stephanie Bridget for Shasta County District Attorney.
Paid for by Stephanie Bridget for District Attorney 2022.
Shasta County, there is a candidate in District 5 named Chris Kellstrom. Chris spent many years managing businesses in Anderson, Happy Valley, and elsewhere. Chris knows how to treat customers and employees. Chris would like to bring that experience and knowledge to Shasta County. Chris Kellstrom is not a career politician. He is a business manager and a problem solver. Shasta County is a great place to live, but we do have a few problems that need solutions. We can use a guy like Chris Kellstrom on our Board of Supervisors. Join me in voting for Chris. Paid for by the Liberty Committee. Not authorized being a candidate or candidate's committee.
Shasta County, Chris Kellstrom again. One of the small things I'd like to do as a supervisor is to put a survey on every receipt at every county counter. Fast food restaurants and grocery stores already do this, and it provides good information to those businesses on how to improve their service. The county departments I've dealt with these last couple years have been great, and I say keep up the good work. If there's any problems out there, I think this would be a quick and easy way to identify and improve them. I want all departments to be as customer-friendly as the ones I've most recently visited. Let's make Shasta County number one in customer service. This ad paid for by the committee to elect Chris Kellstrom, District 5 Supervisor. Hey, Shasta County, Chris Kellstrom here. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. We've elected career politicians for years now, hoping that the homeless problem, crime, wildfires, and water shortages will get better, and instead they all get worse. I am not a career politician. I'm an experienced businessman who knows how to solve problems and think outside the box. I want to work on our problems, not use them as campaign material every 4 years. Stop the insanity. Vote Chris Kellstrom for District 5 Supervisor. Is that paid for by the committee to elect Chris Kellstrom, District 5 Supervisor?
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
Voter fraud is a hot topic these days, with certain voting machines at the center of the conversation. As voters, we need a voting system we can trust. Our current county clerk believes these leased voting machines are trustworthy and plans to use them for the next 5 years. We need a new county clerk that will work to replace these machines with one of 8 California-approved alternatives. Vote Bob Holsinger for Shasta County Clerk on June 7th. Paid for by the Liberty Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and DeBott. This portion of the show brought to you by Alaska Airlines. That's right, Alaska Airlines. You know you can fly daily nonstop from Reading to Seattle with Alaska Airlines, and with one stop, get anywhere in the world. You can enjoy a great weekend in the Pacific Northwest or fly to Seattle to take that Alaskan cruise. Which is a cool, that's a cool cruise. Book now at AlaskanAirlines.com/Reading.
Well, the cool thing is that we just have accessibility, and it's doing a great job at the airport, well, expanding.
Let's just, before we kick off anything else, the airport. My gosh, what a success story that's been. Jim Wadley and everybody else
good
has
management.
Been working on this.
Yeah, I believe that during the time that I was lucky to serve as mayor, we had 3 new flights that came on. So now you can do that Seattle flight, you can do the LA flight, you can do Burbank, you can do San Francisco, Las Vegas. It's pretty great. You can get to virtually anywhere in the world.
To make your connection.
And maybe to Denver. Maybe
the city did set aside money so that we could go out and basically lobby for that. And we're working on it.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome back. It is May 9th. I keep thinking tomorrow's my mom's birthday, so 10th. But Aaron Reznor is with us this morning, and of course, we're seeing signs everywhere about who is Aaron Reznor running for supervisor, in district.
One.
I would just ask. Okay. So, Aaron's with us this morning. We've been talking about public safety and the next, time that we have in this block. Let's talk about, we were talking about it at the break. So let's talk about a homeless situation and perhaps transitional housing and what you would like to see and certain props that you think will probably have to be revisited, rewritten, et cetera.
Yeah, thanks so much. Yeah, I think I'm frustrated just like the rest of, other business owners and the rest of California, really, that I don't think that when people voted for Prop 47 and Prop 57 that they were thinking that it would have as much, it was marketed as
safe streets and schools.
Exactly. And last year, Prop 20 failed in all but seven counties. One of those that it succeeded in was this county. But last year I worked on the, last year I sat and served on a policy committee. I'm the president of a Northern Sacramento Valley division for the League of California Cities. And last year I sat on a policy committee and we talked about that and lobbied the state. And you have to have somebody who can work, who's sitting in these positions, who can work with the legislature, because in my opinion, some of them are out of touch. What happens in rural California is sort of foreign to them. And I think that some of them thought that then when I was marketing some of these propositions that they were good ideas. But it's really impacting the state of California all over the place. Housing is an issue in general, but housing and homelessness is an issue. We've done some really great work. I think that last year we had at the city, with some public-private partnerships, had 168 income-qualifying housing. We have 120 coming up this year, 40 that are going to be for seniors. We approved some micro-shelter projects. So we have a micro-shelter that's going to kick off at the St. James Church, but those also include wraparound services. So that it can't simply be, you know, if it was, we call it homelessness, but I think it's really it's like a trauma issue or a mental health issue. It's because otherwise if we just, you know, put somebody in a home, then the issue would go
right
away. But so that's not true.
Explain micro-shelter.
Micro-shelters are small, so think maybe about the size of a bedroom or smaller.
Okay.
About the size of an average bedroom or smaller. But that allows somebody to have, because we often hear that some people, you know, congregated living or sleeping doesn't make every person, especially some of those who have severe mental issues, or maybe they have a pet with them that gives them a lot of safety and security. They don't often feel safe in a congregate setting, which is why the Mission is also somebody who is putting forward a project. I believe that they're looking at 15 or so micro shelters, and looking actually, I believe the Mission's also looking at some work that they can do with pets, because we often find that as a barrier for entry, that somebody has a pet and they would love to go in and get some sort of services or get better, but their pet may be their one normal mm-hmm. thing that they have, and they mm-hmm. don't want to leave their pet. So we are working on, there are some community members working on that project.
Okay. There you go.
We've talked about more police, CERT teams, the jail.
Yeah.
A lot of people feel that a lot of our problems could be solved with a new jail. At least being able to take the ones like the guy that killed that young man at Taco Bell, been arrested 59 times, or had 59 rap sheets or something like this to get people off the street. Your opinion on getting a new jail? A larger one, like with 1,000 seats.
I think that a new jail is crucial. I'm really supportive of the sheriff's wagon wheel approach. I think that the problems that we have now, we have a national opioid crisis, and we have mental health that is sort of off the charts and really needs addressed. And I think that an integration of health and human services and jail beds, you can't simply just put people in a jail bed and think that the trauma that led to and all of the maybe poor behavior or family generational issues that led them to land in jail and a multitude of bad decisions are going to be fixed by them sitting their bottom in a jail bed for X amount of time. We have to have that sort of transitional housing so that when they have somewhere, they're not going back into their an unsavory sort of environment. But it also will help us with funding. Last year, I believe that the county put aside about $14 million, and I believe that to put aside that amount of money this time. But that integration of health and human services allows us to go after grants to help fund and produce that. And to be honest, from what I'm hearing, whether we were deciding to do jail beds or an integration of health and human services in jail beds, roughly those would take about the same time to build. We all want something right now, but we live in the lovely state of California, and we can't simply, you know, put up a tent.
So the idea of having...
As nice as that sounds.
Yeah. Good enough for Marines. The idea, though, of the jail, mm-hmm. you're behind that. The fact is once we get them into jail, mm-hmm. for at least 90 days and start the weaning process from drugs, right. then they may be more open to being helped. But right now, nothing happens.
Yeah, there is this, I think that there's this great hour of sort of moment of clarity, because there are people who feel fine living in that sort of, and I think that jail space and health and human services integration, along with the presence that APD and RPD have done, it really gives us the opportunity of giving people choices. Like, here's the deal. I'm going to arrest you, you're going to go into jail, and then you can do this path, or this path sort of thing. It gives us they're a captive audience at that point. And it also gives us the opportunity of who are the people who really just need some help, and who are the actual bad guys who need dealt with a firm hand, and who held accountable.
Who need to be in there.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of people in the jail, which is why there's no room, that are just bad guys and girls.
Yeah, and honestly, I think that that's why we need to continue to work with and lobby the state, and why those relationships are really important, because in all honesty, this is a red county, and this county is not voting for Newsom anytime soon, and he knows that. And for most other Democrats up and down the state, they don't really want to work with a red county that this red is ours. And so I think that we have to make sure that we are doing a good enough job to communicate with others so that we can show them. And honestly, Brian Daly has been maybe the best example of that, of showing the rest of the state what it looks like in the North State and what rural California actually looks like and what we're really dealing with, and attempting to work with them, because I think we can find solutions. Like I said, that lobbying committee that I sat on last year was a group of people from up and down the state. We have the same issues. We just have to row in the same direction.
That's a good terminology.
In the same direction. And you know what? And Brian has reached out to a lot of people. And frankly, that's resulted in the Dallies putting their necks out there and then getting them whacked, like with Susanville. They shut down Susanville prison, another prisoner shutting down without even telling the Dallies about that. You know, but I think that's a problem we're going to have to face, because we are a conservative area, but we vote red. And they don't really care, no matter how much you reach out, at least at this point.
I think we have a mixed community, but overall.
Well, we do have a mixed community, but it votes red. And I just, there's agony on just how much common sense we can use and push out there.
Yeah, we do have to take a
break.
Okay,
I know that sounds kind of self-defeating there, but, you know, I think that anything that can be done to try and pull the power to let them see that, hey, we have the same problems they do.
We have a full plate with, political advertising and all loving on our sponsors, so we have to take a break here at KCNR 96.5 FM. 1460 AM, this is your talk radio, and you can hear us online at 1460.com.
This portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite, Redding's Dish Premier local retailer. Don't call the 800 number, call Doug Tooley. He's been here for over 30 years providing the best value, service, and technology. Call the 800 number. Who are you going to talk to if you have a problem? If you call 241-3474 and get Doug and his people, not only will they put it in, but they're going to take care of you if you have any problems at all with Dish. You get Dish, you get TV's only 2-year price guarantee. Give them a call at 241-3474 for more information. That's B&T Satellite, a better-known business. We'll be right back.
With Aaron Reznor. Everybody, let it roll.
Kevin Cry is running for Shasta County Supervisor to rebuild public trust in our local government. As a small business owner, Kevin Cry was appalled that many of our local businesses were deemed non-essential and were forced to close their doors while others were allowed to stay open for seemingly random reasons. Our leaders should have taken a stand for all our local business owners, but they remained silent. Kevin Cry will stand with all of us. Vote Kevin Cry for Shasta County Supervisor, District 1. Paid for by the Liberty Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Shasta County, Chris Kellstrom again. One of the small things I'd like to do as a supervisor is to put a survey on every receipt at every county counter. Fast food restaurants and grocery stores already do this, and it provides good information to those businesses on how to improve their service. The county departments I've dealt with these last couple years have been great, and I say keep up the good work. If there's any problems out there, I think this would be a quick and easy way to identify and improve them. I want all departments to be as customer-friendly as the ones I've most recently visited. Let's make Shasta County number one in customer service. This ad paid for by the committee to elect Chris Kellstrom, District 5 Supervisor. Hey, Shasta County, Chris Kellstrom here. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. We've elected career politicians for years now, hoping that the homeless problem, crime, wildfires, and water shortages will get better, and instead they all get worse. I am not a career politician. I'm an experienced businessman who knows how to solve problems and think outside the box. I want to work on our problems, not use them as campaign material every 4 years. Stop the insanity. Vote Chris Kellstrom for District 5 Supervisor. This ad paid for by the committee to elect Chris Kellstrom, District 5 Supervisor.
Shasta County, there's a candidate for District 5 Supervisor in Cottonwood named Chris Kellstrom. Chris is a lifetime member of the NRA and belongs to the California Rifle and Pistol Association. Chris Kellstrom cares about the Second Amendment rights and will do everything in his power to protect those rights in District 5 and all of Shasta County. Remember Chris Kellstrom for District 5, head and shoulders above the rest. Paid for by the Liberty Committee, not authorized by any other candidate or candidate's committee.
Our summer tribute lineup will keep you cool all summer long with live music inside the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center. From rock and roll classics to country to today's pop charts. Tickets are just $15 each, plus fees. Purchase your tickets now at the River Club, WindRiver.com, or through our Wind River app. Must be 21 to attend. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
KCA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Is Reading better off than it was 4 years ago? Absolutely not. Our local government has been asleep at the wheel for the past couple years, and we have been void of any effective leadership at the local level. This is why political outsider Kevin Cry is running for Shasta County Supervisor District 1 to help lead our community in the right direction. Shasta County has woken up, and we want change. Let's keep the momentum going and elect Kevin Cry to Shasta County Supervisor District 1. Paid for by the Liberty Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Ah, this is so frustrating.
What's up?
Well, I'm trying to order my wedding invitations on Vista.
Don't say it. Don't do it.
Huh?
If you're thinking of buying wedding invitations online, don't do it. Call Minuteman Press of Reading and keep that business local. Planning a wedding is tough enough without hassling with details like invitations. Minuteman Press of Reading is a full-service printer that will handle your cards from design to printing to envelopes. And their staff is super friendly and knowledgeable and can help you get what you really want.
You got the number?
It's 221-0400. That's 221-0400. Call now.
I bet I'd move it on a little farther down the line, far from Folsom Prison. That's where I want to stay.
And I'd let that
lonesome whistle blow my blues.
Welcome back to our morning show. It's always the juice of course we're talking about our passion about the VRBO. And we're going to move along from that.
I may be the only one in Reading that's pissed off about this, but now I've got Aaron in front of me.
We're going to get into some other subjects here. Why we've got this, this moment with Aaron, and she is running for District 1 Supervisor. And I got to tell you that you got a good staff that, right in our neighborhood, we had two people that came up and I was pulling out and I thought, okay, who's this person with the flyer? Really, this is my mind. And there was somebody who, literally I was pulling out and they came up and I was like, okay, put my window down. They were so nice.
Oh, our campaign team?
Yeah.
Oh,
so yeah. Nice. He just handed it. He smiled, just like your Dutch Brothers people. That when you
have Dutch Bros out on the street,
if you're feeling like you don't are having a crappy day, drive through a Dutch Bros. You guys know how to tell your customers how to do customer service, where everybody feels like it's their special day. They're pretty. Their car is great. Oh my God, look at your dog. Oh, what pretty nail color. Whatever it is, they know how to treat a customer that the next day they want to come through again, because you make people feel special. Your team.
Can we talk about little things like if Aaron is elected, what is the first thing you'd like to do?
Well, I wanted to compliment.
I know you do, but
you
talk about it all the
time. I think that I appreciate the compliment, because we just really try and hire people who genuinely care about other human beings, and then tell them to be who it is that they are. And they're all different. Some of them are, you know, some of them are more quiet, and some of them are extremely bubbly. But they all just really care about people. And we say, you know, we're in the coffee business, but we really are in the people business. And I think that whether it is in Dutch Bros or in our community and being a supervisor, I think that people want to be heard and they want to be known. And I think that first and foremost, I would like to attack decorum within the Board of Supervisor chambers. I've been at a lot of meet and greets in which the people have said, I don't actually feel welcome or safe to be in that room because I may have a different opinion than some folks who attend every single time. I may want to share about something, or honestly, they want to share about something that's on the agenda, and they can't take the entire Tuesday off, because they're not sure when it is you're going to get to that agenda item. And so there are people who really want to be able to come in and speak, but at the moment they don't really feel like it's a welcoming environment.
So what would you do about decorum? I know you're talking about that, and it is an issue, because I feel like just in general, the civility aspect of what we have become as a society, not all of us, but what's the answer there? How do you fix that?
I think we've done a really good job on the city council through COVID, and to be honest, you know, the five of us disagree occasionally. We disagree and strongly disagree, but it first starts with the board. It first starts with the people who are sitting up there. Are they being a good example? Are they being respectful to each other? Are they making snide remarks? Are they treating each other with respect? And then also, are they treating every single person in the audience with the same level of respect? And to be honest, I don't think that that happens at the moment, that every person who gets up to speak gets the same amount of respect. I've been in there multiple times when one person may be able to say something that feels a little bit rude and disrespectful to other people within the community, or even hateful, and then somebody else defends themselves, and the person who defended themselves got, you know, in trouble, or, you know, their wrist slapped, to that sort of thing. I think that we have to give an equal platform for everybody. But I also really like the way in which that we do it at the city council, is that the first 30 minutes of the meeting are dedicated to public comment. And then we go and we get the work done. We get the things that are on the agenda, or as I once had a city attorney teach in training, that the things on the agenda are like the people who have called in and they have a reservation for dinner. So these, and often we have times where consultants are flying in to present on a specific topic. So they're coming in, they're presenting on a specific topic, and then we're getting the work done, and then it's leaving, and then we're sitting there until whenever it is that public comment is done, because it's important for people's voices to be heard. But that allows us to get the rest, like the work done, because there is work that needs to be done. We need to tackle jail beds. We need to tackle mental health. We need to tackle housing. I'd love to allocate some more funding so we could get another clinician working with the CERT team, or that we could maybe double those sort of efforts. But that's going to take a collaboration with the county and with the local cities.
Well, the decorum of the Board of Supervisors, I think everybody will agree that it got raucous and a few other things during this. It seems to have calmed down, not totally. The idea of a 30 minutes for presentations from the audience, or for people to be heard, and then doing business, I see no problem with that, because you have business to do. And then everybody, if you want to stay and talk afterwards. There's the Board of Supervisors used to meet every Tuesday,
mm-hmm.
except for a 2-week period, unless it fell on a holiday.
Right, right.
And then over the years, it has gotten to less than half of that. Are you in favor of bringing out more meetings so there's more opportunities for people to be there and show up and talk? In other words, you went from 50 to 27. And all the business that you all have to do ends up being, you know, in the public has to be on that those weeks. Would you be in favor of having more Board of Supervisors meetings?
Yeah, I think I'm in favor of efficiency all around. So however it is that we can get in and get the work done, and I think also having they've done a decent job in the last, like, year or so, but whether that's a couple of times a year in which that there's an evening meeting, I think it's difficult. Morning meetings are difficult. However, I can tell you that...
Would you support evening meetings then?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. that's what I'm saying. Like, okay. I think that whether that's every quarter or a couple of times a year that there's an evening meeting, or when we have a large topic at the city that we want to tackle, for instance, the budget, we hold special workshops for that. So I would like to give staff the opportunity to say, this is when we're tackling, you know, maybe these are our regular sort of meetings, but this is when we're going to go over budget review, and so we're going to add these Tuesdays to tackle the budget, or this is when we're going to hold these on the evening. We hold special meetings for special topics that take a lot of time. And I think that making it so that we can be efficient, but also making it so that our community has the most opportunity to weigh in. But everybody, we have to create a sense that everybody can come in. Because at the moment, there are about 30 folks who come in every single time, and the rest of the public doesn't feel comfortable coming in. That's what I've been hearing over and over and over again. And so we have to create an environment where all are welcome because everybody deserves a voice.
Well, you're not going to keep people from coming in, though.
No, that's what I'm saying. We need to create an environment. Mm-hmm. So I think that that comes from being respectful and having a level playing field
at
everybody.
At the Board of Supervisors level.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break here. This portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank, the only locally owned bank around here. It's local board of directors, it's our home community bank, and they've been around for 15 years. And from the day they've opened, they've been moving local dreams forward. That's Cornerstone Community Bank. They have four branches now, one in Red Bluff, two right here in Redding, and the newest one in Anderson at 2727 Ventura Boulevard. Learn more at bankcornerstone.com. We'll be right back with Aaron Resnick.
Listening to the wind. Trying to hear the voice of a distant friend. Wishing you and I were close again. Listening to the wind.
The last 2 years revealed who politicians are truly loyal to. It wasn't we the people. True public servants are hard to find. That's why we need Eric Jensen at the helm as our district attorney. Eric is a patriot, a devoted father, an experienced attorney from the private industry. This means he isn't beholden to political cronies or government bureaucrats who will boldly fight for you. The current system has failed us, and Eric Jensen is the only non-establishment candidate for Shasta County District Attorney.
Paid for by the Liberty Committee, not authorized by any candidate. Or candidates committee.
We need all units to
violent crime rights.
California under siege.
Are gang related.
Criminals set free.
Defund their local police.
Police attacked.
Increase in shooting victims.
Victims ignored.
I shot my little brother.
Ultra-liberal California Attorney General Rob Bonta has never personally prosecuted drug traffickers or violent gang members. He has zero experience to do the job. Nathan Hochman does. Nathan is the one candidate for Attorney General endorsed by the California Republican Party. He's the only candidate with the real experience to keep us safe. As Assistant U.S. Attorney, Hochman prosecuted corrupt government officials and locked up violent drug traffickers and gang members.
I'm Nathan Hochman. What's happening in California is unacceptable. Politicians ignore us while communities are attacked. As Attorney General, I'll actually do the job and prosecute criminals. I will always protect California first.
Nathan Hochman, an attorney general who will keep us safe.
Paid for by Nathan Hochman for Attorney General 2022.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction.
In response to COVID-19, NFI has scheduled online Zoom classroom sessions for CCW and CCW Renewal. These online courses will be followed up with live fire range training, which will complete your certification. Follow-on range training is done with the same great instructors you've come to know and love. Give us a call today at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Lighting. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
The last 2 years revealed who politicians are truly loyal to. It wasn't we, the people. True, public servants are hard to find. That's why we need Eric Jensen at the helm as our district attorney. Eric is a patriot, a devoted father, and experienced attorney from the private sector. This means he isn't beholden to political cronies or government bureaucrats. He will boldly fight for you. The current system has failed us, and Eric Jensen is the only non-establishment candidate for Shasta County District Attorney. Paid for by the Liberty Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
It's never too late to stop. Look, listen to your heart, hear what it's saying, stop. Look, listen to your heart, hear what it's saying, love.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio, with Carl and Nabat. Today, the 9th of May, 7:51 in the morning. Our guest is Aaron Reznor, who is on the Reading City Council and is running for District 1 Supervisor. At first, there were three, and now there's two. Kimberly Vollmers dropped out of the race and threw her support behind you. And it was a surprise, huge surprise, because it was in the middle of the forum.
Yes, I was rather caught off guard. I think it took me about three questions before I got my footing back underneath me.
So you didn't know about it beforehand?
No, it was really a surprising sort of... I think I was just really humbled by her endorsement. I think it's one thing for a candidate to say, hey, I haven't been able to raise as much money as everybody else, so I'm going to, you know, take my hat out of the ring.
I'm just wondering if, like, to show up with people that would support her, I'm wondering if it was in the middle that, you know, how you have this
epiphany,
overwhelming feeling of, like, your moment where you go, and your spirit speaks to you, or however you want to call it, and you go, I just got the message. This is what I have to do. Or if it was planned beforehand. But anyway, it's just kind of cool.
Well, she read off of a... Yeah. I don't think she did it off the cuff. I mean, she read
something. Oh. She had a letter. Yeah. Hey,
she read something.
One of the things that everybody talks about is the planning department at Shasta County. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that historically we have sort of attempted to do this thing where we keep it super lean. And in my opinion, I think that we need more staff. And I think that somebody like myself who really cares about culture could bring a really good impact to resource management department in terms of culture. But I think that we need to tackle culture, but we also need enough staff to handle the project so that we can turn things around. And we need qualified and capable staff to do that. I know that at the city we have been booming, and I know that the county we're in a building. There are a lot of projects coming in, but we don't have enough staff at the county and at the city to manage all of those projects quick enough. And if we want to spur economic growth, we have to be able to have quicker turnaround times. And some of that just means we need to look at where is it that we have unnecessary bureaucracy things. There's a program that we put in place called Bureaucracy Busters, in which that staff that we did at the city, that staff put forward the areas that they felt like there was unnecessary red tape. And it helped. But then we also need staff to be able to carry those things out. So I know that at the city we're working on that, but I also know that that's a large problem at the county.
You know, one of the questions that comes up is the amount of money that city and county employees make compared to the average Reading salary. Can you address that? Why do we, you know, in that one last raises that went around, one person got a 40% raise.
Well, that person actually doesn't exist. So that's a really fun little, it's a position, but there's actually not been somebody sitting in that position for almost a decade.
Can I have that one?
And we...
Yeah, what's the caveat
I don't care what it is.
It actually makes less money than you make, because we're talking percentages, right? So in the last decade, let's think about that just in the last 5 years, minimum wage went from $10 an hour to $15 an hour. And within the state of California, that means that there's a minimum salary in which a salaried exempt employee can make. So we do have a bottom rung that we have to, but then you want to talk about where specific, we'll go back to resource, right? If we have a planner, or we have a senior level planner, or we have an engineer, or civil engineers, and we have people who work in public works, those sort of positions are educated positions. You and I are not talking about what I'm hiring for a wage at. We're not talking about a service level wage. So when we do those, we hire a consulting agency to go out and see what is it that the market rate is. Because let's be honest, I don't want an engineer, I don't want a civil engineer who can make 120 or 110 or 150 working in private industry to come and work for 70 or 80 and then decide whether or not our building is structurally sound. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like that, I don't want the bottom of the barrel. In all honesty, I think that we have a higher calling to the best sort of professionals because they're serving our community. And so I think that naturally those sort of wages need to match what it is, because it's a competitive job market. As a business owner, I know that we are still doing a decent job of hiring, but every other business owner that I talk to, it is a competitive market. Earlier, I think, and my time frame is Mary, you and I talked about that Mary's Pizza Shack was offering a couple hundred dollars to get a minimum wage employee.
They're paying $22 an hour. That was the last thing I heard at Charlie's.
Yeah, and we're talking about that's a minimum wage job. You don't have to have any sort of qualifications to take that job. So that bumps up what it is that anybody else will take. And we need qualified and capable people in those positions because they're serving our people.
And finally, I would like to ask Aaron Reznor here on our Monday morning show on KCNR that let's fast forward 5 years. Besides being a fantastic mother, wife, and business owner, what would you say you would like in 5 years from now to be your legacy?
I mean, I would really love if we had more, I would really love if we had more jail beds. That's my simple sort of answer. If we were tackling mental health and people here felt like that we had made progress in the areas that, because honestly, it takes a long time. It's going to take a long time to tackle those areas. We didn't get here overnight and we're not going to fix it overnight. But I would feel really proud if our community had rallied around a handful of these projects, because we all want the same projects. We just disagree in the process to get there. We all want mental health to be tackled. We all want more jail beds. We all want public safety. We want our businesses thriving. We all want all of those things. But I want us to row in the same direction, and I want there to be groundbreaking on those things. So I'd love to see a handful of those wins, like I have seen in my time frame on the city council. I'd love to see that from the Board of Supervisors.
Okay.
There you go.
All right. Now, your last.
Bring it home.
You get the last words here.
Oh, man. I just would love to thank both of you for having an open mind and a place in which that you can give people true perspective, that you ask hard questions and that your listeners have the opportunity to really be, to get informed from the actual people. I also want to make sure that everybody knows that ballots drop today. So ballots drop today. Historically, most people fill out their ballots in the first 2 weeks in which that they come. So today should be that first opportunity. If you know who it is that you're going to vote for, I hope that that when those ballots drop that you vote for myself for District 1. And I hope that other people have the same vision that I do for Shasta County, for our community, because I see a place that has incredible people that can find solutions. It's a place that we really leverage our waterfront and a place that we attract tourists.
I never even got to that one. Yeah.
Well, I'll come back and we can talk about riverfront property.
I would love to do that. Yeah, I'd love to get it, you know, because this is so important for us.
Yeah.
We have to
next
do something.
Time.
Yeah,
next
it
time.
Is the real gem of our city. Right. We are so lucky to have as much waterfront as we do. Yeah. And
how do people get a hold of Aaron Reznor? Or your website and all that?
Yep, it's aaronresner.com, or you can find me on Facebook. If you put in Aaron Reznor on Facebook or on Instagram, yeah, you can find me.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you so much for having me.
You
thank
bet,
you.
Aaron. Thanks for coming. Hey, when we come back from the news, Shasta College is going to join us with a group of people. They're always
good. It's always informative.
It's cool.
Stay tuned.
It's cool. We'll be right back.
Alito's leaked draft decision that Roe created a constitutional right that didn't exist and tells Fox News Sunday.
Finally, elected officials have a say about life and the conditions of an abortion. I think that's the way it should be.
He says Democrats don't have the votes they need. Senator Amy Klobuchar tells This Week with George Stephanopoulos her party has a plan.
If we are not successful, then we go to the ballot box. We march straight to the ballot box, and the women of this country and the men who stand with them will vote like they've never voted before.
The House passed legislation in September protecting abortion rights. I'm Julie Walker.
Vandals struck a pro-life office in Madison, Wisconsin over the weekend. Police say a fire broke out at the Wisconsin Family Action Office. There was also graffiti. The message, "If abortions aren't safe, then you aren't either," was spray-painted on the building. There's no end in sight for the Ukraine war. Russian forces still pushing forward in their assault. Moscow today celebrated its Victory Day holiday with a military parade as Russia's Vladimir Putin sought to justify his invasion. Well, if you filled up your car or truck lately, then you know fuel prices are up again.
We now have a 15-cent per gallon jump in the average price of regular grade gasoline to $4.38. And in the case of diesel fuel, this metro-oriented average shows a jump of 43 cents per gallon.
That's fuel price analyst Trilby Lumberg. Stocks in the red again on Wall Street, the NASDAQ down more than 400. More at townhall.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
The hardline security chief who oversaw a crackdown on Hong Kong's pro-democracy movement was elected as the city's next leader over the weekend. It was a vote cast by a largely pro-Beijing committee. John Lee was the only candidate and won with over 99% of the vote. In his victory speech yesterday, Lee said he wants to strengthen Hong Kong's international relations.
We must expand our international connectivity
establish a more favorable business environment and increase our overall competitiveness. We must further strengthen Hong Kong's role as the gateway and the bridge between the world and our country.
Lee will replace current leader Carrie Lam on July 1st. Her five-year term was marked by huge pro-democracy protests. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Greg Clugston. Officials say Sri Lanka's prime minister has resigned amid mass protests at the government's handling of an economic crisis.
An island nation struggling to stay financially afloat. Today, deep in turmoil. There were tense scenes in the capital as supporters of the PM were seen beating up anti-government protesters and journalists. Later, some of the group destroyed the protest site at the city's seafront where demonstrators had peacefully set up camp for weeks. But then, later in the day, scenes of joy in the crowd as Prime Minister Mahinda Rajapaksa announced his resignation. In a letter, he blamed COVID and the global economic crisis for the country's financial woes, although many blame his government's policies.
The BBC's Regini Vidyanathan reporting. A strong earthquake struck off the east coast of Taiwan. No serious damage or injuries reported. No danger of a tsunami. More at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning, and welcome back to Free Fire Radio right here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. With Carl and Linda Bott, we're on Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 AM, right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Today, the 9th of May, 2022, a Monday. Oh, the week before rodeo.
Oh,
week 8:05 in the morning, news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, number one hospital rated in this whole area. Your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Ashley's at the helm. Good morning.
Good morning. Happy National Butterscotch Brownie Day.
Well, okay. Butterscotch Brownie. I don't know if I've ever had one of those.
Is that a phone call for us?
With our next guest.
Oh, okay.
All right. Okay, well, let's do a quick update with the weather.
A question already.
Good morning, everybody. On this Monday morning, let's talk about what the weather is. Currently 43. If we look outside of the downtown studios, we do have, it's raining right now. We have chance, here's what the forecast calls for. Showers and thunderstorms likely. That's when you put your plants out because they just love it when it thunders and lightning. That's fabulous. Showers and possibly a thunderstorm after 3. Some of the storms could produce small hail. High near 58, light and variable wind becoming around 5 to 9 per, miles per hour in the morning. Looks like tomorrow calls for chance and then showers at 63 and overnight lows at 42. Now the forecast calls for a sunny day on Wednesday with our highs of 73. Thursday partly sunny with a high of 70 and Friday mostly sunny with high with our high of 77. Get this, get ready, because over the weekend, it looks like Saturday calls for 90, and Sunday, sunny with a high near 95, so you can see this 30-degree variation in the week. So, yeah, it's a sweater than tank top weather. And the weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, where they are located in Anderson with senior and veteran discounts.
Give them a call.
365-2793.
Yeah, this week, Friday night is the dance. The Asphalt Cowboys. Saturday is state feed down at the rodeo grounds. And it really is kicking off this week. And so it's going to be great weather for the rodeo this year. Cottonwood rodeo yesterday, I think, dodged the bullet as far as rain went. Did it rain up here yesterday? We didn't get back to it yesterday. It did? Did it rain up here a little?
We got a little bit of hail, actually, right at the station around 2:30 yesterday.
Well, that's about what time we got home.
Now,
we got
home around. I hope there's thunderstorms
today. But I'm sure it was beautiful.
Because today is a training day with our horse. And I'm taking her out in thunderstorms and lightning and sliding her down hills in the water and all this just to make sure that she's ready for the next time. Yeah, she got off easy yesterday. Okay, I lied. I wouldn't do that. First of all, she may slide down the hill, but it may be two of us sliding down the hill. We are here. Did that make sense at all?
Not at all, because okay. I'm ready to move on, and we have
now you are.
Dan Scullin with us this morning. Good morning. He's a GIS instructor from Shasta College. This is our first Monday, or always the Monday seating that we have Shasta College, and some great information with people who are instructors and so much that they offer. So, Dan, good morning to the morning show.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
All right. So, your geographic information systems is what GIS stands for. How does one decide, I'm going to just go into that kind of system, technology, or whatever that is?
Well, it helps when you have a marketing guy like Peter to help out. It's definitely not the the most easy to explain thing.
Usually we have Peter, we harass Peter for the first few minutes, but Linda likes gets freaked.
All right. Yeah. I do really want to know, tell us a little bit about yourself. We're going to go right into it because it's really fantastic. And if I was standing in the bank and I go, hey, what do you do? What would you say?
Well, I'll tell you, it helps that everybody is using variations on this when they say, hey, here, Siri, go to the local Starbucks, or they pull out that Google Earth map that's really cool and they can rotate things around, or they see it on the evening weather, right, where they see them fly in over the weather and they kind of tilt the map up and do that sort of stuff. So those are sort of the commercial end of what GIS is about. You know, it's geographic, so it's location-based, so we're interested in where things are located. Information, right? We have all this information that we're capturing, and we need to be able to store and process and display that information. And so so that's kind of the nutshell. What it's
let me tell you about the Marine Corps and GIS. We would send people, our mapping crew, you know, because we make our own maps a lot of times in areas, you know, to do that. So we'd send our young men and women to the schools, usually civilian schools, and get them the best education that you possibly could, so they could do our cartography and do all of our mapping and do all that kind of stuff. And then they'll be back there working, and they'll be sitting next to a contractor. And he goes, wow, you're really good at this. And the corporal goes, well, yeah, you know, that's what I do. And he goes, yeah, if you came to work for my company, you can make $100,000 a year. Bingo! We lost that young man that instant. When he turns over and he looks at him, he goes, really? He says, yeah. And then that young Marine is a great Marine to the, you know, and when it comes up time to reenlist, he doesn't reenlist because he can get a job paying $100,000 a year on the outside because this is such a sought after job.
Thing. So Dan, you're an instructor out there at Shasta College. So tell us a little bit about how did you get involved when you go into your schooling of what got you interested in this kind of profession?
Yeah.
It's a
good question.
Were you a geeky guy?
You know, I don't think of myself as a geeky guy, but I don't think I can be in this field now without fitting that category. But I did want to mention something that Carl said, which is I love having veterans in my classes because they know how to read maps. And a lot of people don't
know. They have no concept.
They don't know how to read maps. And it's a very important element. It's something that students have to learn as they go through our program, because really you can't effectively deploy and apply GIS unless you understand the fundamentals of how to
give us a 10 grid, give us a 10 digit coordinate and show us where you are on this map. I would say 99% of your students just look at you blankly, have no idea what you're talking about.
That's true, and just basic things about orienting yourself on the landscape, which direction is north.
Declination diagrams.
How cool is that?
Left ad, right subtract.
So we know that Peter is an Eagle Scout, former Eagle Scout. Did you do that? I just want to know how you got interested.
Yeah. So my path was very different. By the time I was going off to college, I didn't really have a sense, like a lot of 18-year-olds, what I wanted to do. And Dad said, you're pretty good at math. So I ended up going into computer science, which I always felt like a bit of a fish out of water, but I managed to sort of survive through it and you know, worked in the Silicon Valley for a year or two before I realized what I was really interested was being out on the land, doing things, learning about resources and resource management. So I went back and got a master's in geography. And as soon as I showed up in the geography department, they said, you know, because information systems, right? I mean, it's computer-based. So all my computer foundation was a huge asset that way.
Well, growing up, did you tell us a little bit about your history? Like, where did you grow up, and how did numbers, did they come easy to you in grade school and high school? Were you, I mean, curious.
Yeah, you know, not especially. I wasn't much of a student, and this is something that I really encourage my students now to realize. You know, I sort of went through high school just middling along, like a lot of students do in public high schools, right? So I went to Terra Linda High School down in the Bay Area, and it was sort of like, you know, you didn't have to really apply yourself if you showed up and kind of.
Yeah.
And so that was sort of, and it wasn't really until I got into my 20s and started to mature a little bit that I was able to sort of say, hey, this is, you know, this is something I'm interested in. And now I'm starting to think these are things that I care about and want to be involved with. And the thing that I love about GIS is that it is a tool that you can apply in so many different areas. So it initially came in through forestry. So we have consultants and foresters and the Forest Service and everybody that uses it. But now it's used for municipal government. So it's all through all tiers of city, county, state government. The federal government, of course, is huge. You've got a lot of independent consulting firms that are using it. Businesses are using it now because they need to be able to track where customers are and where their business is.
Well, let's talk about that when we get back, because, you know, I'm used to it to be used in on knowing where your people are at and knowing what the ground looks like and three-dimensional and all these.
We also have a student of yours on the line.
We got to get him.
And I have to just say this really quickly before we take a break, is that I have this feeling that you're a really good teacher, because I don't think that anybody, there is no question that's too stupid for a man like you, Dan.
Well, I appreciate the compliment.
Hey, it's 8:15 in the morning. This portion of the show brought to you by Crackmaster Windshield Repair. Nobody knows more about repairing windshields than Jeff Wurst. He's been doing this for a few decades, and he will not take a chance with your personal safety, whether it's a chip that you can barely see or a crack over 2 feet in length. Jeff can fix that. If you want a free inspection and analysis that he provides, come on down to 3208 South Market Street or give him a call at 241-8373 for an appointment today. Like I said, Jeff Wurst, Crackmaster Windshield Repair. He repaired a crack in my windshield in 2007, and you still can't see it. What can I say? That's how good he is. Crackmaster Windshield Repair. We'll be right back.
I am a parent and a healthcare worker. Education is key to a healthy community. Over the past 2 years, our children have suffered from unequal education. This is why we need new leadership in our county. This June, vote for Brian Caples for the Superintendent of Schools. He will hold the line for our children to receive an equal education and empower the school boards to do the same. Vote Brian Caples for the Superintendent of Schools this June. Paid for by the Liberty Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Hey Shasta County, Chris Kellstrom here. It looks like another hot and dry summer is about to begin, and I pray we won't have any fires. One of the many things I'd like to do as a supervisor is to craft an ordinance to reduce the fuel loads on the federal lands within our county. I would encourage private landowners to reduce the loads on their properties too, but would not burden them with an ordinance, just the federal government with the lands that they manage. We need to get the feds to reduce the risk of fire in our county, not go begging for dollars after we have another disaster. This is paid for by the committee to elect Chris Kellstrom Supervisor District 5. Hey Shasta County, Chris Kellstrom here again. I'm hearing a lot of stories on the campaign trail from citizens who have been told by the county that their sheds are too big and their patio or deck needs a permit. Kiddie pools, doghouses, and even a covered woodpile have been mentioned as instances of grief received from the county. If we are using county equipment and personnel to catch taxpaying citizens doing small improvements on their own property while we ignore large-scale marijuana grows and transient camps, our priorities need to change. Let's work to make our county better and stop burdening our already overtaxed citizens. This ad paid for by the committee to elect Chris Kellstrom, District 5 Supervisor.
Thanks to you, our loyal guests, we are celebrating 29 years of moments at the River. We have something for everyone, so grab your friends and get ready for incredible giveaways, promotions, entertainment, prizes, gaming, food, and fun. Plus, don't miss your chance to win $129,000. It's our birthday all month long, so let's keep the party going. Join us at Wind River Resort and Casino for our 29-year anniversary celebration. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Everyone should feel safe in Shasta County, period. This is Baron Browning. Being a father and a Marine, and the Mayor of Anderson has taught me that effective leadership comes from the willingness to put your own agenda aside and communicate with everyone. The people of Anderson did just that, and together we've made it one of the greatest and safest communities to live in. Let's make sure that all of our public safety personnel are not hamstrung with low funding and staffing by providing them the resources needed to keep our community safe. Vote Baron Browning for Shasta County Supervisor, District 5.
Paid for by the committee to elect Baron Browning for Supervisor 2022.
Voter fraud is a hot topic these days, with certain voting machines at the center of the conversation. As voters, we need a voting system we can trust. Our current county clerk believes these leased voting machines are trustworthy and plans to use them for the next 5 years. We need a new county clerk that will work to replace these machines with one of 8 California-approved alternatives. Vote Bob Holsinger for Shasta County Clerk on June 7th. Paid for by the Liberty Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
North State Relief, a nonprofit serving Northern California communities, is raising awareness that there are free financial counseling services available to North State residents, provided by certified counselors at Balance Pro. They offer free HUD certified financial counseling for debt, rental, and mortgage assistance, student loans, and financial counseling for veterans and fire victims. Get advice from the pros at balancepro.org or by calling 1-800-777-PLAN. That's 1-800-777-7526.
School boards have been tricked into following Newsom's crazy mandates. Brian Caples wants to train Shasta County school boards to advocate for the constitutional rights of children. Brian is running for Shasta County Superintendent of Schools. He will put children first, and he will empower school boards to stop these crazy mandates. I'm a high school teacher, and on June 7th, Brian Caples has my vote. Paid for by the Liberty Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. This portion of the show brought to you by Estate Granite. Mike's been doing this. Mike Huber's been altering homes, altering in the good sense, for over 20 years, and is a true artist when it comes to working with granite or marble or slate or other types of material like that. You can redo your kitchen, your bathroom, or other rooms. Give him a call at 241-STONE and set up a consultation to see what you want to do and what he can do for you. He's a great guy. It's a better-known business, Estate Granite. Learn more at EstateGranite.com. We're here with Dan Scullion, who is the Geographic Information Systems instructor out at Shasta College. And on the line, we have Jason. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
Okay. I was just making sure you were still there. Hey, thanks for waiting. Jason, this is not your first rodeo. You've had a career, and then you came back to get involved with the GIS program. Can you tell us a little bit why?
Certainly. So I found the geography. So Dan and I have come at this from a couple, from kind of a different perspective. When I was in college many years ago, I've always been interested in kind of what's out there and what's around, and like exploring on maps and, you know, by driving around and seeing what's there. And so I came across geography as a natural extension of that. So I got a bachelor's degree in geography many years ago, where I was first introduced to GIS. After college, though, I kind of took a left turn and did something else for quite some time. And recently I found myself in a position to retire from that and to consider what it is I want to do with my life. And I still love maps and still love understanding what's where and how it all relates to each other. And so I decided to get back into GIS.
Okay. Now, Dan, what kind of jobs are out there? I mean, you offer a one-year certification, a two-year degree, an associate arts degree in the GIS systems, which is a 3D representation of the maps. What kind of jobs are out there for people?
Yeah, there are job titles that usually an entry-level job title would be like a GIS technician position, and then one might move into a GIS analyst position and GIS manager. But more times than not, it is an adjunct skill that is a huge asset. So you okay. could be showing up interviewing for a position as a fisheries biologist, or you could be showing up as an entry level forester, or in fire and fuels, or in the city roads committee. And if you've got the GIS certificate, it may be in the job description, it may not, but if you've got it, you're going to have an asset over the other person, because every one of these organizations has that in their
okay. And Jason, so you, like you said, you've retired from one profession. You've always been interested in mapping. What do you want to do with your degree?
Well, that's a good question that I don't have a perfect answer for yet. But I think that what I do like to do is
get closer. Get closer, Jason.
I'm sorry. Can you hear me better now, sir?
Not really.
Not really. What'd you do?
I didn't know I did anything.
Okay, there. That's good.
There we go. All right, thank you. So I found that I like to help people, and I think that people have geospatial needs, and they may not realize them. They may need to they may realize it, but GIS is about solving problems, and so anybody that has an issue of needing to understand where things are and how they relate is what I'm interested in, and so I think that moving forward. I kind of am interested in the path of building out these different solutions, possibly as a private consultant.
Okay. What are some of the projects, Dan, that you all are working on, local projects here?
Yeah, I'd like to mention three. I've got a student that is helping us build out our geographic database for the Shasta College campus. Lots of new buildings on campus. We've got a lot of resources. We've got paths and trails and farms and oak woodlands and all that stuff. All of those features within a geographic database helps us to manage and make decisions at the college. Jason has actually been helping me on a project to create what we're calling a GIS map has been changing, and so nowadays a lot of this is going interactive on the web, real user-friendly, so we're creating a Stillwater Creek watershed database and web map, and Shasta College is right in the center of that watershed, and we've got other large entities like Lassen Canyon Nursery and Nash Ranch and so forth, and this is just on the east side of Redding. We had the Fawn Fire last year. The Forest Service butts right up to us on the north mm-hmm. end, and so there's a lot of interesting kind of property and resource management. And then personally, I've been focusing attention on the Klamath region as a whole, which extends all the way into Oregon and all of the different.
And we're talking about 3D mapping and flyover and all that kind of stuff.
All of the above are in our tool bag these days, which is fantastic. The ability to be able to visualize where ridgelines and river systems are in relation to land ownership and, private timber or whatever the case is that your fire, right, historical fire areas that have burned. One of the things with fire, the city of Redding during the Carr Fire, the GIS department stood up an evacuation map based on data that they had available. Within 2 days, they had a million hits to the website. It was not data that was available to people. These are people that on the fly stood this up, and they were able to provide a resource that virtually everybody in the community was looking for.
Sure, absolutely. So if somebody's interested, if they've heard this and they're interested in this, what do they do next? Do they reach out to you, and how does that happen?
I am always available to chat about things. One can go to the website, and we have a GIS program website. So we've got a one-year certificate program. We've got a two-year associate's degree. Humboldt State, now Cal Poly Humboldt, is just starting up a geospatial bachelor's degree program. So we have students that transfer over there, and they'll be able to now get a four-year degree. And we've got community organizations, so I wanted to be sure to send out an invite for May the 17th. Right here at the downtown campus, we will have our annual student showcase as part of the Reading Area GIS user group. So that's on the 17th. So lots of opportunities.
That could be interesting. And that's right down the street here.
Yeah, right here.
Yeah. If I was planning on riding parts of the Pacific Crest Trail, and could I, through GIS, could I map out that area showing the terrain and all this by using the mapping and that type of technology that would take me through that whole trail?
Absolutely. And as you mentioned, the 3D, interesting you mentioned 3D. I've got my students doing that this week. And to be able to take that two-dimensional trail and now put it on a 3D map where you can rotate your perspective and see what the ridge line and run profiles, right? They run elevation profiles, see what kind of ownership you're going through. Has this area burned or not? What's the latest weather data that we can superimpose on the map? Snow loads from this year? Yeah. Sort of
could be a project.
It could be a project.
Could be a project. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Dan, for joining us. Dan heads up the GIS department there, the Geographic Information Systems. And you know what? I've seen it work in the military, and it's just phenomenal. And you don't have to be a computer expert to get into this. You can get into this and learn something that'll be one of those arrows you put in your quiver in your job, especially if you're working in the with the forestry department, you know, the feds, and just now more and more for the city and county, and they're coming up and mapping everything. So the trails, imagine mapping all the trails here. It's three-dimensional, so you'd have an idea and be able to have that accessed by people who come to visit. Great idea. Okay, Dan, thank you so much.
Oh, okay. Thank you. It's been great. Coming up after the break, we've got Ishmael Rivas, who is the diesel technologies instructor. I love all this. You know what, Peter? Great job. You bring in some real gems.
Well, we have quite a number of them there at the college. As you well know, we've been doing this for over 3 years. And it seems that every single month that we bring somebody in, I get to learn new things as well. And even, you know, working with Dan, there's always something new that's advancing with the technology. The instructors are constantly updating the courses and they're teaching. So.
Yeah.
Oh, every day it gets more. Okay. We're going to take a quick break.
Thanks, Dan.
And we're going to be right back. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, the only full-service jewelry store in Reading, a great place. Linda went in there the other day.
Getting to be some your stuff birthday. To get fixed. My watch repair. And some prongs and different things just to make sure that things aren't going to, you know, jewelry isn't going to fall apart.
There you go.
So they'll fix stuff for you as
They've
well.
They've got a great selection of jewelry. They're very fair prices and they're super people. Four Winds Jewelry, open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. We'll be right back.
Kevin Cry is running for Shasta County Supervisor to address the homelessness and property crime in our community. By acting compassionately but demanding accountability, he knows we can reduce crime, restore our public spaces to the use of all, and help less fortunate residents live their best lives possible. What we are currently doing isn't working, and as Supervisor for District 1, Kevin Cry's priority will be to fight to end homelessness in Shasta County, not sweep its core problems under the rug. Paid for by the Liberty Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Veterans, did you know that Shasta County Veterans Service Office is open to all veterans who have served our nation? Whether a combat veteran or a member of the reserves with limited active duty time, you have earned benefits. If you have any military benefit or veteran-related questions, call 530-225-5616 or stop by Shasta County Veterans Service Office at 1855 Shasta Street, Reading, California. This message is brought to you by Korean War veteran Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary, California Veterans Affairs.
Proven experience, fighting for you.
This is Stephanie Bridget, your Shasta County District Attorney. I've spent 2 decades fighting for your safety. I've personally prosecuted murderers, rapists, and child molesters, sending them to prison for life. I have met with and advocated for thousands of victims, giving them a voice against those that have harmed them. I am tough on crime and support a bigger jail. Vote for me, Stephanie Bridget, on June 7th.
Paid for by Stephanie Bridget for District Attorney,
2022.
I'm Ed Rollman, a third-generation Shasta County native, business owner, and founder of the Merchants Crime Watch. District Attorney Stephanie Bridget has a 20-year proven record of fighting for the safety of Shasta County, including protecting local businesses from repeat offenders. That's why I support her re-election. We don't need someone like her opponent, a workers' comp lawyer with no experience who will need on-the-job training. Vote Stephanie Bridget for Shasta County District Attorney.
Paid for by Stephanie Bridget for District Attorney 2022.
We need all units to
respond. Violent crime,
California under siege.
Are gang related.
Criminals set free.
Defund their local police.
Police attacked.
In shooting victims.
Victims ignored.
I shot my little brother.
Ultra liberal California Attorney General Rob Bonta has never personally prosecuted drug traffickers or violent gang members. He has zero experience to do the job. Nathan Hochman does. Nathan is the one candidate for Attorney General endorsed by the California Republican Party. He's the only candidate with the real experience to keep us safe. As Assistant U.S. Attorney, Hochman prosecuted corrupt government officials and locked up violent drug traffickers and gang members.
I'm Nathan Hochman. What's happening in California is unacceptable. Politicians ignore us while communities are attacked. As Attorney General, I'll actually do the job and prosecute criminals. I will always protect California first.
Nathan Hochman, an attorney general who will keep us safe.
Paid for by Nathan Hochman for Attorney General 2022.
If SB 1464 passes the California legislature, it will require law enforcement to enforce all public health orders, whether they agree with health orders or not. We cannot let that happen to our community. Kevin Cryer is running for Shasta County Supervisor, District 1, to make sure our communities are safe from tyranny. We all live in this community together, and we cannot allow for one group to be pulled into harassing another. We must stand together, and we must vote for Kevin Cryer for Supervisor, District 1. Paid for by the Liberty Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidates Committee.
Reading is already heating up. Book your travel now to the Pacific Northwest with Alaska Airlines and enjoy daily nonstop service from Reading to Seattle. You can enjoy a cool weekend in Seattle or connect with Alaska Airlines to anywhere in the world with the One World Alliance. Dreaming about that Alaskan cruise? Fly direct and sail away. At Alaska Air, they care a lot. Check out great places to travel and book your next trip now at alaskaair.com/Reading.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio, 8:35 in the morning here on the 9th of May. It is 41 degrees out there, and it's raining, light rain, maybe getting thunderstorms later on. Weather report's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, the place to get your haircut. When you find something that works, you just stay with it, right? Well, I got my hair cut there for the first time 15 years ago, and I haven't changed since. It's a veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. They work by appointments only, 244-9478, Man's Last Stronghold. Cars, they don't talk politics. That's interesting. They don't talk politics in the barbershop, nor would you want your barber crazy because of politics and cutting your ear off. Nah, so they don't talk politics there. Hey, we're here with Shasta College. Peter Griggs always brings in some great guests.
We had Dan Scollin on, who is a GIS.
Yes,
yeah, instructor. GIS instructor. That was fascinating. And we had Jason, his student, calling in, who actually retired from a field and went back. He had a geography degree and went back, and which we love about, you know, Shasta College, with students of all ages that go, that can come and go and change up the course of your life, of what you want to do. And that's what I think is fascinating with everything that we have learned about Shasta College. With us this morning, we have a diesel technologies instructor, and his name is Ishmael Rivas. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm doing great. I'm real excited to be here.
Oh, that's great. And so what, just share with our listeners. So again, standing in the bank line, hey, what are you doing? Tell us about who you are. Why are you in Reading? And what do you do for a living?
Perfect. Yeah, again, as I said before, my name's Ishmael. What I do for a living as far as teaching, or do you want me to start with a diesel background a little bit?
A little bit about your background.
Yeah. Perfect. I got into diesel. I was kind of a troubled kid. Not really troubled, but I was homeschooled because I got in trouble in school a little bit. And I ended up finishing school about 16, and a guy in my church decided, hey, maybe I should take this guy under my wing and teach him about diesel. So I was lucky enough to be an unofficial ag apprentice, I say, with a guy in the church from 16 to 18. So I started pretty young and decided I really liked it. Actually went to Shasta College back in 2000 and really liked my instructors there and decided at that point one day I thought I'd get into teaching. So I would say I was kind of lucky. I got into teaching pretty young. I've been teaching. This is my 17th year teaching now, and I just love diesel. I love engines. Diesel is kind of a touchy subject, in this day and age, especially here in California. But when I say touchy, I mean some people think diesel's dirty and we have a lot of issues and whatnot, but I love diesel. That's what I like.
Without diesel, everything stops.
I know.
Let's just say that.
I know.
Without diesel trucks, everything stops. They're just so loud. Yeah. 3 days. That's how much food you got, people, if those trucks don't roll.
Exactly.
So Ishmael, first of all, your name is fascinating. Ishmael Rivas.
Mm-hmm.
I love the fact that you had a mentor.
Yeah.
That took you under his wing and changed the course of your life.
That's true.
Or you changed the course of your life, but through his mentorship.
Yeah, no, truthfully, the link to Shasta College was through the guy I worked with. Actually had gone to Shasta College before. I grew up in Modoc County, so I'm from Cedarville, California.
That's oh, my God, we love Cedarville.
Oh, yeah. So if you're into hunting.
Really
oh, my God, Squirrel Wars.
Yeah, Squirrel Wars.
Man, we've been there every year except for this year.
Yeah.
But we've been for, 10 years in a row? Love Cedarville.
Oh, yeah. It's near and dear to my
you
heart.
You grew up in Surprise Valley.
The only issue with Surprise Valley is we didn't have a big ranch, so I had to go to school and make some money a different way. Otherwise, I'd probably still be there farming.
Mm.
No offense to diesel.
It's still, I can just imagine it's kind of like a very, what did you do with your spare time? I always wondered about that. So it's such a.
Can you tell us a
kind
little
of a
bit?
God-fearing place.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little about.
It is.
Yeah.
What?
It's wild.
Can you tell us a little bit about the diesel type
spirits
program?
At nighttime?
Definitely.
This is a technology that's been around for a long time, but it's constantly changing.
Yep.
Just like any type of combustion engine. So tell us a little bit about the program, please.
Yeah. So our program is a 2-year program. Most of our students go towards the degree. Because of the amount of classes you take, you're pretty close to the degree. But our program focuses on making sure our students have a good understanding of, first off, how a diesel engine works, what's happening internally inside that engine. Not everyone goes to college, and I understand that. But one of the cool things with our program is when a student completes our program, they have a great understanding of what's actually happening in the engine. All of the small things that, seem small to somebody else, but they're crucial to proper running diesel engine. We don't just teach diesel engines, though, by the way. We teach powertrain, hydraulics, air conditioning. We teach any part of the diesel truck. We've been traditionally a truck program, so when you say diesel,
right,
over-the-road truck like semis, Freightliner, Peterbilt, Kenworth, I don't want to leave somebody out there, Volvo, over-the-road truck. My background, though, I taught for Caterpillar for almost 12 years, and so heavy equipment. I really like heavy equipment, so we're getting into the other side of diesel, which is dirt work. You're talking dozers, loaders, excavators. And then we also teach any of our engines. Again, diesel's kind of a big name, and I know people don't always associate diesel with everything that it's in. And, Carl, you alluded to this, that if it moved, it was probably diesel.
Well, I have a friend that's got a pickup truck, which has got diesel. A lot of people have that because, the engines are one forever. If you take care of them. On my boat, I had diesels. And of course, saltwater and marine diesel is a little bit different. But the fact is that they're going to be around a long time, no matter what anybody seems to think.
I agree.
But there will be it's going to be, if you started like Nico, who is one of the students in it. And good morning, Nico.
Good morning.
You've got a job for the next 50 years if you want it. This is the way I can't envision something taking its place like that. What kind of jobs can people, once they go through your class? You've got a 1-year and a 2-year course?
So we've got our certificate takes about a year and a half.
Okay.
All right. You could do it in a year, but it would be difficult. So about a year and a half, 47 units. But as far as jobs, right now the career path is pretty amazing for our students. There are so many people that need technicians. So whether you're talking the auto or the automotive diesel, you know, like your pickup trucks, like you're talking about your friend, myself also, or your over the road semis or dirt work, we get phone calls almost daily looking for technicians. Our concern right now and our issue right now is getting more students into the training. It's placement is not an issue at all. Nico over here, he has great chance to pretty much go anywhere he wants because we have a lot of retirement in the diesel technology industry, a lot of our retirements. So we're not keeping up with just the attrition of people retiring and then new jobs being created. So I was looking recently. I think we have about 24,000 new positions that will be opening up just within the next couple of years, and that doesn't take into consideration retirements.
Well, we're going to have to be coming up on a break here, but when we get back, we're going to ask Nico, like, you know, let's tell us about your experience, what's going on, what your plans are once you get certified and that kind of thing, because I always love to know, like, did Cool April Nights, were you involved with Cool April Nights? Do you, like, love to go out and see the cars? Are you a builder?
Yeah, absolutely. Our Shasta College student program, our club actually helped out park all the cars at Cool April Nights. We were a vendor there and really tried to get the word out on our program to a lot of new students who maybe hadn't thought about going to that part of automotive. Most kids usually think cars because that's what they grew up with, but the diesel world is a much bigger section than that is.
When we come back, we're going to find out more about Nico as well and just, you know, the quality of the student. I mean, I'm already loving your diction. I'm curious, like, okay, who's this guy? Tell us a little bit about your past. But Ishmael, love the whole story about being homeschooled and having a mentor, getting into diesel, being a young teacher, still 17 years, faculty. Maybe not always at Shasta College, or have you been Shasta College that long?
I've been back at Shasta for 5 years now. I taught at Portland Community College in Portland, Oregon. That's when I trained for Caterpillar. I was there almost 11 years.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to take a break. This portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, one of the nation's 50 top cardiovascular hospitals, and they just are in the process of hiring a superstar over there when it comes to cracking chest. They've also got things like the TAVR valve replacement where you can get a valve replaced in your heart. Literally get out of bed that afternoon, have it done in the morning, get out of bed that afternoon and go home the next day. This is a valve replacement. This is being done at Shasta Regional Medical Center. I mean, you talk about getting inside the workings of a diesel engine. The diesel engine is turned off. When you're inside a chest, it's still running, okay? So they've got so many things there. They're rated number one. They've got an A rating from so many different organizations at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Healing starts here, and they mean it. We'll be right back.
None of Tesla to impress. My girl is happy, rolling on a Vespa. Don't need no mansion to get romance. She's super fine, double wide, slow dancing.
For years, Shasta County residents have been plagued by homeless encampments, property crimes, and illegal marijuana grows. As a father and grandfather, I get frustrated hearing our current elected officials pass the buck on these persistent problems. We need new leadership, and we need it now. That's why I'm voting Eric Jensen for district attorney. Eric is an experienced attorney from outside the political establishment. Eric supports law enforcement, building a more adequate local jail, and working alongside the community to make Shasta County safe again. It's time for real leadership. It's time for Eric Jensen.
This ad paid for by the Liberty Committee. Not endorsed by any candidate or candidates committee. Hey, Shasta County, Chris Kellstrom here. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. We've elected career politicians for years now, hoping that the homeless problem, crime, wildfires, and water shortages will get better, and instead they all get worse. I am not a career politician. I'm an experienced businessman who knows how to solve problems and think outside the box. I want to work on our problems, not use them as campaign material every 4 years. Stop the insanity. Vote Chris Kellstrom for District 5 Supervisor. This ad paid for by the committee to elect Chris Kellstrom as District 5 Supervisor. Hey, Shasta County, Chris Kellstrom here again. I'm running for Supervisor in District 5, which includes Anderson, Shingletown, now Happy Valley, and Cottonwood, where I live. The Anderson-Cottonwood Irrigation District is not getting any water in its canals for the first time in over 100 years. Happy Valley is again seeing huge restrictions. Mark Twain said, whiskey is for drinking and water is for fighting over. We are in a fight for sure. The Delta Smelt found some pretty good lawyers, and I think it's time for the citizens, ranchers, and farmers to find some better ones. Our needs must be moved above those of the fish and radical environmentalists. Help me fight. Paid for by the committee to elect Chris Kellstrom, District 5 Supervisor.
Sometimes it's hard to know who to vote for Shasta County Supervisor, District 5.
but this time, the choice is clear. Chris Kellstrom resides in Cottonwood and is a Shasta County native who believes in faith, family, and the Constitution. Chris Kellstrom is not a politician and will not raise your taxes to solve your problems. And at 6'9", he really is head and shoulders above the rest. Paid for by the Liberty Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with the promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with the promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
For years, Shasta County residents have been plagued by homeless encampments, property crimes, and illegal marijuana grows. I get frustrated hearing our current elected officials pass the buck on these persistent problems. We need new leadership, and we need it now. That's why I'm voting for Eric Jensen for district attorney. Eric is an experienced attorney from outside the political establishment. Eric supports law enforcement, building a better local jail, and working alongside the community to make Shasta County safe again. It's time for real leadership. It's time for Eric Jensen. Paid for by the Liberty Committee, not authorized by any candidate or a candidates committee.
Talk good about, job, Ashley.
You know what? Ashley can find
songs
like, about everything.
Next? Yeah,
so. Everything. Okay. Hey, welcome back
to
Free Fire Radio. And 8:50 in the morning here on the 9th. It's 44 degrees and raining. This weekend will be 90. Just a little change. We're here with Shasta College, and we've talked to about the geographic information systems. But we're here with Ishmael Rivas, who is the diesel technologies instructor, and Nico, one of his students. And great background on Ishmael. But then, Nico, what got you into diesel technology?
Ever since I was younger, I always just enjoyed working on engines. When I got my first car, I was always breaking down on me, so kind of had to learn how to fix it. And I was, you know, a Lego kid, always like building and putting things together. And when I grew up, I started, you know, maybe thinking about engineering, got into the program, and it was just not as hands-on as I would have preferred. And through a family friend, Steve White, who used to teach the hydraulics program, I learned about Shasta College. I didn't have a clear path after that. I was kind of just taking classes to take classes, and I moved up here from Marin County, and since then it's been a real pleasure working with everyone at the school, and I've learned a lot, and it's all hands-on.
What do you see? So you had cars and mechanical things in your past, but where do you see yourself 5 years from now? Do you want to be an instructor? Where would you like to see your future? What lies in your future?
I would not say I'd rule out being an instructor. I think it's a fun job, and getting to pass on your knowledge to a new generation is a really formidable thing. But first, I'd like to get into the field a little bit and work with things, because I don't think you can truly be a good instructor unless you've actually
That's right.
Had.
You've got to come up through the ranks
exactly.
In that way.
Exactly.
Get your fingers dirty. Even though you're more like a surgeon when you get
yeah.
into it. We talked about that during the break.
No dirty fingernails in this room right now. I can tell you that to our listeners right now. You think, but you always think diesel, and it's a visual, like this dark oil kind of thing, but it is not the case. Like you said, it's surgical.
Yeah. People that get a that go through your program. And Nico, I don't, and this question kind of includes you. A lot of times they take this class, but then they take other classes along with this, you know, welding, things like that.
Yeah. Our program does require at least a beginning welding course as part of the degree. If you're in a service truck working as a mechanic, there's many times you do need to know how to at least use a cutting torch, heat things up, or actually cut things. And then the welding background is definitely important when you're in the heavy equipment side. You end up having to weld, maybe you're not supposed to weld overhead guards. I was going to say that. Don't weld those. That's not allowed. But you may have to weld something or cut something apart out in the field working in logging equipment. So we do push towards welding. We only require one welding course. But a lot of our students will go on and do more than one welding course, which we always advise. So we also like our students. Some of them do the heavy equipment ops program out there at the school. And so they can operate during the good season when it's nice and sunny and then turn wrenches in the off season. So one nice thing of being a technician is you can be employed year round. And you can do that in equipment ops too with all the
so
fires.
So you could be on the, you can be operating heavy equipment during the fire seasons and things like that.
Yeah,
and then when the fire season's over for those 2 months, you can come back inside. And also, I mean, that just, it's one of those things we were talking about, arrows in the quiver. I can operate your heavy machinery, but I can also fix it like that. That's got to be a big plus when you're looking for a job.
Where are you in the program, Nico?
I'm just getting done with my second semester, which a lot of students think to be one of the more fun ones because that's when you really get to work with the engines. That's the class where you pull the engine all the way apart, put it all back together. It's a very long class. It's 5 hours a day, 4 days a week. So compared to what most people are used to with college courses, it feels more like a job, really, than going to college. But I'm about a year through the program, still have a year left, and just getting the intro classes out of the way.
Now, do you live on campus, or do you have are you working alongside with going to school? What's your story?
So I was working off and on. The semesters are kind of split where it's one class for the first half of the semester and another class for the second. And last semester, I didn't know that going into it because I was still kind of new to the school and I had made plans to work after that. This semester, I haven't started work yet, but I will work over the summer. It can get very busy, especially when you're taking more than one class. And, you know, if one class takes 5 hours out of the day and you have two more after that, it can start to be a good workload, but Shasta College is very helpful. They're good at spreading things out. So if you do need a work through, plenty of people do, and it's not really an issue.
Ishmael, starting wages, you know, because this is an important thing. You know, you spend a lot of time going through there. You learn a lot. What are like, and you already said there are jobs out there.
Yeah.
And you're probably getting poached all the time by people. But what are like starting wages?
Yeah, so our starting wages, I mean, if you go to, if you look online, I always like to use Bureau of Labor Statistics to show most of our students are starting about $23-$24 an hour if they've completed the program. And we have seen that. If you're a brand new technician, though, in this area, and you just finished the school, truthfully, because there's such a need, that's pretty easy to find. But in the past, it's been closer to probably 17, 18 to start and then work your way up to that 23 to 24. But right now with the economy the way it is, as far as needing more technicians is actually what the problem is. There's such a supply and demand issue that some of my students are up to $30 an hour right now, and they're pretty green. That sounds bad, but I'm very honest. The two-year program.
They've got all the basics, and they can fix it. Yep. But if there's something that comes out of the, you know, a different thing, they may need some help.
Yeah,
but they're still making.
Yeah, there's no substitution for experience, and that's just the truth. 2 years of school, we're going to teach them as much as we possibly can, and they'll have, you know, a very good base. But experience is experience. So until you've been in a shop for a couple years, there's just things you don't know. And just the repetition of, you know, taking things apart, you know, they'll move their way up. California has one of the highest averages for a diesel technician. So an average pay for a diesel technician in California is about $57,000 to $58,000 a year. Many of my students have already surpassed that. So $57,000 to $58,000 is pretty much straight time. That's no overtime, but most diesel techs definitely can do some overtime. And like I said, the economy, it's not necessarily the economy, it's just the lack of technicians out there. They can demand
when you're
a very
looking
high
for
wage.
Somebody.
Well, once again, we're enthralled with the quality that Peter, you know, reaches out to the different departments and the quality of the instructors and the students. I just, you know, we have a great big world with all kinds of moving parts in it. And if you want to learn about different things, and especially like if you're, what I love about this diesel technologies is that it runs deep with what's happening in our world, where our world is going as well. And why not, you know, become an expert at something? So I love that, as well as like with Dan and the maps.
Yeah. Ishmael, is there a person who's, what kind of person would be interested in this? I mean, you know, they're out there going, gee, I wonder if I could do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say that there's actually a lot more people that can do this than probably think they can. They're a little nervous coming in. The big machines can be a little intimidating. But really, we need people that can methodically take something apart, see how it comes apart, and like you're saying, like a surgeon, put it back together properly. I mean, the cost of these engines, you know, you're talking your pickup trucks, that's like an $18,000 to $20,000 engine in a pickup. You put a semi-engine, you're a $60,000 engine now. We need people that can pay close attention to detail, that, you know, are happy to come in and fix things. It's, truthfully, this is a very rewarding job. I love teaching, but sometimes I fix, you know, I actually miss fixing things. So it's a very rewarding job. When you have a customer come in and their machine's broken down, and you're the only one that knows how to fix it, and you go in there, you kind of feel like a hero a little bit. It sounds a little lame, but, you know, you fix their vehicle that was down on the side of the road. Yeah, they're off going, they're, making money again.
Yeah, that's
very,
only,
very rewarding. So people don't, I think people kind of leave that out. They forget, like, you know, you get to go out. When I was in the service truck for a while, and I would drive out, you know, to some areas you never get to see on logging roads, and people's machines would be down, and sometimes they were grumpy when I got there. But when I got it going at the end, you know, they were happy, and you drive home and you feel good about it. You have a sense of accomplishment. So people, I want more people
to
see
moving
the reward.
You're not moving paper from A to B. You're actually fixing these things. Hey, thank you so much for being with us today. We have run out of time. But you take people through on tours, right?
Yes.
So just reach out to Shasta College.
Yep, anytime.
Okay, the other thing is you've got a commencement going, Peter, on May 20th. You want to talk?